A demonstration planned on the role of immigrant labor in the U.S. economy. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Depending on where you live today, you may find your favorite restaurant or other establishment closed. Workers in Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, New Jersey, and other regions are protesting as part of a campaign called A Day Without Immigrants. Immigrants make up more than 15% of the U.S. workforce, and new policies aimed at immigrants, both documented and undocumented, can have economic effects. Marketplace's Rima Kreis has more.
On most days, Bar Pilar, a restaurant in Washington, D.C., has a staff of 15 people. Today, it'll be more like three. Aaron Edwards, who's in charge of operations, says the restaurant supports workers who want to protest.
We were just like, you know, we'll just make it work.
Edwards will be tending bar, but no one will be mixing drinks at Alfredo Solis's two D.C. Mexican restaurants. They're closed today. Solis says he wants to send a message.
For restaurant business, it's already hard to find good stuff, you know. They're going to make it harder for us to find the stuff.
Maria Fernanda Cabillo is with the national immigration movement Cosecha, which is organizing a similar protest in May.
The strongest power that the immigrant community holds is our consumer and labor power.
Cabillo says immigrants need to exercise that power, even if that means taking some hits. Andy Shalal owns six restaurants in the D.C. area. They'll all be closed today.
Well, financially, it's a huge impact. We are a very busy restaurant. We serve thousands of people a day.
But he hopes his customers will support his decision and choose to come back. I'm Rima Kreis for Marketplace.
Now that fast food executive Andrew Puzder has withdrawn from his bid to be Donald Trump's Secretary of Labor, the question is, who will the administration nominate next? Puzder's skepticism about the minimum wage and fondness for automation in the workplace earned him opposition on the left. On the right, there was his hiring of an undocumented immigrant to be housekeeper. There was also a claim of spousal abuse, later recanted by his ex-wife. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is live here from Washington. Nancy, what was the immediate catalyst?
Well, David, you know, it became clear that Puzder would not have enough votes in the Senate to be confirmed. Democrats weren't going to vote for him. As you mentioned, a number of Republican senators came out against him after he admitted employing that undocumented immigrant. And there were those allegations of abuse from his first wife. All that added up to sink the nomination.
And Democrats didn't like Mr. Puzder's views on, for instance, labor unions.
That's right. Puzder is not a fan of organized labor. He talked about replacing the workers in his fast food restaurants with automation. He was opposed to an increase in the minimum wage. Susan Sherman is a professor in the School of Management and Labor Relations at Rutgers University. And she says Puzder was different from previous labor secretaries, both Republicans and Democrats.
But one thing that they've all agreed on are the standards for raising safety and health of workers for the most part. This guy did not agree with those things.
But Nancy, what's next? I see Bloomberg News is reporting that former National Labor Relations Board members R. Alexander Acosta and Peter Kersenau are being considered as labor secretary. Any other names?
Yeah, that's right. Also, Michigan State University professor Joseph Guzman. He was co-chair of President Trump's Michigan campaign. He was also a member of Trump's National Hispanic Advisory Council. And there's also Catherine Templeton. She's a former head of the South Carolina Labor Department, and she has opposed unions in the past. She, in fact, warned South Carolina Boeing workers against voting to join a union.
Which yesterday they didn't. Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Quickly, the numbers. The FTSE in London down 0.5%. Dow and S&P futures down 0.2%. It will come as no surprise that people responsible for computer security at companies are bundles of nerves these days, worried about when the next hack or cyber assault will occur. At the annual RSA Digital Security Conference in San Francisco, going on now, one expert's quoted in USA Today calling the mood code red. Marketplace's senior tech correspondent Molly Wood is also at the conference. We know hackers are bashing at the gates. I wanted to know what we're supposed to do about it.
Intrusion detection has been a big trend, which is finding out when you're being hacked. Because, of course, we keep hearing about companies like Yahoo who had intruders in their network for months, maybe even longer, and never knew about it. And then there's a recognition that some of this stuff is really hard to stop. And it often comes down to individuals inside companies. And so you're starting to see security companies propose some outside of the box ideas. I talked to the CEO of a company called Forcepoint. His name is Matt Moynihan, and he said that maybe we consumers slash employees need to be willing to give up some personal information to be part of the fight.
Not for a minute should we not stop fighting for the right to privacy and a lot of the things that are foundational in this country. But just like people are clicking opt-in to get free email, we really need to think long and hard around, is privacy a currency that can be used for good as opposed to just free email?
Oh, I see. It's a bit like your credit card company saying, look, I just saw you bought asparagus. You don't like asparagus. Maybe it's a fraudulent purchase. If they know more about us, maybe they can flag this stuff earlier.
Yeah, that's exactly the idea. Now, I think the other side of that argument, of course, is that people are saying, I'm already giving up a lot of personal information and all I do is get hacked. So now you're asking for more. That could be a tough sell, but that's the level of sort of new thinking that some of these cybersecurity companies are having to look at.
Marketplace's senior tech correspondent, Molly Wood, who's at the big RSA conference in San Francisco. Molly, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And before we go, one British paper calls it the ultimate breakdown of marital trust, spouses who cheat with Netflix. A Netflix survey finds nearly half admit they sneaked ahead to the next episode of some bingeable series without telling their partner, this despite, I assume, solemn oaths that they would watch together. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.